This reflects many years of study and research on the cycles of the new moon, Rosh Chodesh. Many sources have been researched in compiling this presentation, but it only introduces the subject. Views and connections give reflections of me. Final conclusions remain with each individual. All viewers, all of you are asked to research with prayer and ask for understanding and guidance from lessons learned. Our God truly is an awesome God, and He does reign in heaven above. And I thank Him for this opportunity to share with you the things that He has shared with me. The purpose of my study for many years has been to understand the significance of the new moons on the Hebrew calendar. It clearly appears as a statute, an ordinance prescribed along with, though different than, Sabbath and holy day festivals. All three are designated times to worship, fellowship, and give offerings. Though called out ones have restored and observed Sabbath and holy days to varying degrees, new moons yet seem to be treated as optional. God, Yah, is smarter than humans. I seek to discern disconnects and dispel some of the factors that hold us hostage to an ambiguous disattachment to new moons. Each of us remain accountable to the designer and creator of all things for his or her actions in accordance with the revealed word. Let's look at a chart to navigate through new moon alignments and symbolic and literal roles toward the restoration of all things in the Hebrewic walk. This journey will explore science, history, and biblical scriptures. In the interest of time, jot down any questions you have and hold them to the end, and we'll do it then. Are you ready to go? Okay. Celestial clocks for Earth time are elliptical orbits determine planetary synchronizations. Earth time is different than Venus time, Mars time, Pluto time. Our moons rotate in a different sequence. Some planets have many moons. We have one moon. They have different timings. The distance the planet is will determine the elliptical orbit around the sun, and the moons rotate around their planets in different sequences. I'd recommend a book by David Sobel called The Planets. It's very well written, and it helps understand time sequence with the planets and our Earth in our solar system. God said on the fourth day of creation, He said, "Let there be lights in the vault of heaven to divide day from night, and let them indicate festivals, days, and years. Let them be lights in the vault of heaven to shine on the earth." So we're talking about Earth time. We're not talking about Mars time. And so it was. Evening came and morning came the fourth day. It's from Genesis 1. The wording is from the Jerusalem Bible. Earth time navigation is referenced in Psalm 104 when it says, "He made the moon to mark the seasons. The sun knows when to set." A lunar year is 354 days. A solar year is 365 days, 5 hours, 48 minutes, 45.5 seconds. In Psalm 19, it says, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The sky proclaims His handiwork. Day to day makes utterance. Night to night speaks out." They just have a different language than we do. Seasonal rotations are like a dance of time. Have most of you seen the circle dancing brochure? Well, we're going to get to this in a minute. But, and I'm not real good with my pronunciation of Hebrew words sometimes, so bear with me, and if somebody can correct me, please do. The kagag is the circle dance, same word for rotation of the sun and the moon with the earth in a dance. So it's about earth science and astronomy. It's about family lessons and agronomy. As long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. Space and time dance on a line in harmonious circuits of resonance and rhyme. Geometric serendipity, elliptical circuitry, musical synchronicity, mathematical objectivity, family lessons restored through history, all have to do with the new moons. A messianic prophetic analogy is an agrarian metaphor when it says in Isaiah 27:6 that in the days to come Jacob shall strike root, Israel shall sprout and blossom, and the face of the world shall be covered with fruit. Keep this in mind as we go, because it does have to do with the new moons. Lunar phases correlate to vibrational frequencies and resonance. And when you read the books on the planets, you'll understand more about the frequencies and the vibrational resonance. I don't have enough time to go into the science of it. I wish I did, but I'll just make a brief reference to it. Tidal variations by lunar phases and solar alignments affect tidal high tides, low tides, and because we're 70% or more water, it affects us too in biorhythms. Agricultural cycles and seasons frame calendars for many past civilizations. The Hebrew calendar has a 13th new moon every 3 years in a cycle of 7 years. And so that means there's seven of those in every 19-year time cycle. That corresponds to the science of astronomy with the Earth and the Moon. So please read more about it in the planets or in some of your other books on astronomy and the Moon, and you'll understand how the cycles of science correlate in parallel with cycles of the Hebrew calendar. New moons are significant, play a significant role in timing of cycles. There's an Apache blessing that you've heard. It has a very familiar ring to it. May the moon softly restore you by night. And in Psalm 121, we hear some of those same words that are echoed in the same way. Time and space equal place. There is an appointed time for everything and a time for every affair under the heavens, from Ecclesiastes 3. A time to be born, a time to die, time for planting, a time for uprooting the planted, a time for dancing, a time for silence, and a time for speaking, from Ecclesiastes 3, the Jewish Bible. You're a people sacred to the Lord your God, who has chosen you from all the nations on the face of the earth to be a people peculiarly his own. Deuteronomy 14:2. In the New American Bible, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Command the Israelites and say to them, be punctilious," that has to do with time, "in presenting to me at stated times the offerings of food due to me on the Sabbath day, on your new moons, the monthly burnt offering for each new moon of the year, and the seventh month for the holy day is a new moon. On the first day of the month, you shall observe a sacred occasion." There's new moons in biblical history are a shadow of things to come. Who, what, where, when, why? New moons are found from Genesis through Revelation, from the beginning to the end, in prophecies and mysteries of history, with Noah, Moses, Aaron, Miriam, David, Solomon, Ezra, Haggai, the Johns, Paul, when erecting the tabernacle, laying foundations, rebuilding and restoring the temples. New moons are noted when the people of God are cleansed to become a model and mission, to be a model to fulfill their mission. In proclamations, warnings, rewards to his people and to world empires, new moons are noted even to the Gentiles. For marking rotations and changing of the guards, for benchmarking prophecies and culmination of Messiah's return, as the new year of the King of his return, resurrection of the firstborn, marriage of the Lamb and the Lion of Judah, beginning of the millennial revealing restorations of creation and redemption for all mankind. Okay, context on calendars and cultures. Earliest ancient maps showed stellar alignments with the moon. Cultures and religions are defined and divided by calendars. Celestial navigation equals alignment of time and space with earth, sun, moon, and stars. Hebrew calendars are based on new moons. This is a really good website, U.S. Naval Observatory Astronomical Data. It's an excellent, huge amount of information. Phases of the moon, you can put in for any location on the planet and find what the times are for the rising and the setting. The phases, each fraction of the moon phases, and for the sunrise, the sunset. And it even has a lot of history, a lot of science. It's an awesome site. Global monuments have been known to be discovered as calendars, as observatories, with alignments so that it marks lunar phases, solar changes. The ancient calendars show lunar and solar intercalations. That means synchronizing the solar and the lunar year. Pyramids are like an observatory calendar aligned with the sun and the star Sirius, and it anciently heralded the floods of the Nile Delta. Stonehenge has uncut stones, which is like a computer calendar observatory of solar and lunar alignments. Did it come from the Neolithic Stone Age with a Hebrew connection? There's some speculation, very strong evidence that it did. Karnak, Brittany have a stone observatory accurately showing lunar and solar movements from 1500 BC. The Gezer calendar is a Hebrew limestone tablet from 925 BC with lunar and solar intercalations. The books of Enoch from the Dead Sea Scrolls talk about earth science and astronomy, solar and lunar cycles. China, Suzong's astronomical clock from 1090 AD is aligned with the movements of the sun and the moon and the earth. The geochron helped them to do celestial navigation in the 18th century. Recommended viewing, because we don't have enough time to go into the details on this, Ancient Computer by Nova, pbs.org/Nova. Recommended reading, Geography by Ptolemy from the 2nd century. He was an ancient Greek astronomer and geographer. Again, by Davis Sobel, Galileo's Daughter, The Planets and Longitude. I'll go into much more detail than we have time for right now. Geometric space and time are recorded in ancient manuscripts and science. The books of Enoch were found in the Dead Sea Scrolls. They were used quite extensively by the first century church. They were thrown out from the canon the Council of Laodicea in the fourth century. They do reference the 12 portals of the heaven from which the sun and the moon and the stars go east, west, and in different locations throughout the year. The book of Enoch I had hoped to have it here, but I wasn't able to get it for you. But the book of Enoch by R.H. Charles is a recommended reference. It's quoted in Jude. It has lots of references to the millennial time and the return of the king with 10,000s of his saints, his heavenly army, by R.H. Charles. Indigenous lunar calendars are found among the Native Americans and other places too. Is it genetic memory? Because the tribes are scattered and some of them did. There's evidence that came here. Some of you have read Steve Collins' books on the tribes of Israel throughout history. Excellent material. So there's a lot of things that we can trace back. In the interest of time, I'm going to have to skip over most of it. But there are references in indigenous calendars to lunar months, how they called the February, March, was it correlating to the 12th new moon? The moon of the last stored food among the Aleutian Aleuts in Alaska. March was the month of eating skin because they ran out of food, so they were eating the skins. But there's lots of references among the indigenous people of lunar calendars. From Strong's Concordance, we have several words that relate to new moons, Rosh Chodesh. Basically, it means the head of the month. On your new moons, you shall present a burnt offering to the Lord. That shall be the monthly burnt offering for each new moon of the year. Not just the seventh, but each new moon. Numbers 28, 11, and 14. That word new moon is Kodesh, from the reference in the Strong's Concordance. And Kodesh means to be new, to cause, to rebuild, to renew, and to repair. So as it comes around, it renews and it rebuilds and it starts again in its cycle. As a Kodesh, there's a similar word, Hodesh, for the Israelites. Hadathah is the Hebrew word related to Kodesh. It's a Hebrew word for Esther. And we're going to see there is some interesting correlation. It means to go in a circle. The moon goes in a circle around the earth. The earth goes in a circle around the sun, an elliptical circle, not a perfect circle. It means to move in a circle, march in a sacred procession, to observe a festival, to be giddy, celebrate, to hold a solemn festival, to reel to and fro like the dance in the dance, to revolve. In Greek, it means the word for new moon is Numenia. I'm still not pronouncing it correctly, but it means festival of the new moon. The new moon was indeed a festival. Sabbath, new moons, and festivals. From the Torah, Genesis 1, 14 to 16, from the New Revised Version or the Jerusalem Bible, the fourth day of recreation, Earth's cosmic clock was set for signs of times, for seasons, festivals, years, and days. In Numbers 10:10 and 28:11, 14 and 15, the new moons are referenced as a law, a ruling, a decree, a command for new moons and full moons of festivals, for worship at the temple, for blowing the silver trumpet, for assembly, for giving peace and other offerings, for fellowship, for joyously shouting, singing, and dancing. From the prophets, 1 Samuel 20, tomorrow is the new moon. And when the new moon had come, the king sat down to eat. This is referring to Saul. King Saul had a new moon family and state banquet, and he was expecting David. David didn't show up. Then David and Jonathan were consulting out in the field, and because Saul wanted to kill him, he didn't show up, and so Jonathan gave him the sign not to come. It was not safe, and so he asked, why does the son of Jesse not come to the meal, neither yesterday nor today? So it indicates that there was a family and a royal banquet on the new moon. It also appears that the king observed 2 days for the new moon, as some of the Jews do today. Isaiah 66:23 says, so shall your seed and your name endure, and new moon after new moon, and Sabbath after Sabbath, all flesh shall come to worship me, said the Lord. It's a loyalty to God that we keep the new moon. And this is prophecy for the coming world, but it's also an example for us now. As we rehearse and live the Sabbath and the festivals, the new moons are a link between those two. Ezekiel 45:17 indicates that it was a royal duty of the prince of Israel to provide offerings on behalf of Israel on feasts, new moons, Sabbath, and all festivals. In Ezekiel 46:1-3, the east gate to the inner court was closed on 6 work days, but it was open on the Sabbath and the new moons for worship. Continuing with Sabbath, new moons, and holy day festivals in context, Psalms 81:3-6 and 98:6 talks about how hymns, music, songs were sung and played on instruments on Sabbaths, new moons, and full moons of the feast days. It was a law for Israel and for the army. They had a marching band as well as the temple music. It was a ruling of the God of Jacob, imposed as a decree upon Joseph. Psalm 104:19 says, he made the moon to mark the seasons. That's from the Jerusalem Study Bible. First Chronicles 23:26-31 in the New American Bible. Some of the wording, it's good to have lots of different Bibles because the wording helps, it's more clear if you look at several different ones. It's not always clear consistently in just one version. So the Levites shall assist the sons of Aaron in the service of the house of the Lord on Sabbath, new moons, and feast days. In 1 Chronicles 23 to 26, chapters 23 to 26, it talks about the rotations given for stated times for officers of Israel, for the priests, and for the Levites. King David organized the divisions of the Levites and the priests in the temple to serve daily on the Sabbaths, on new moons, and holy days. The chiefs of the clans and tribes, the officers of thousands and hundreds, were divided into 12 divisions with monthly rotations. That means changing of the guard for each month, with the head of the month being the time they would change. Appointed order of ministering in the temple by regulations prescribed by Aaron as commanded by God. 1 Chronicles 24:1 and verse 7 through 19. There were 24 priestly divisions and rotations, 24 divisions for musicians, etc., etc. 2 Chronicles 2:3 in the New American Bible states that to build a house for the honor of the Lord my God and to consecrate it to him, this is Solomon speaking, and for the Sabbaths, the new moons, and festivals of the Lord our God, such is Israel's perpetual obligation. From the writings on Sabbath, new moons, and holy day festivals, 2 Chronicles 8:13 states what was due for each day he, that's Solomon, sacrificed according to the commandment of Moses. It wasn't just king's institution, it was a commandment of Moses. For the Sabbath, the new moons, and thrice yearly festivals. In 2 Chronicles 31:2-3, Hezekiah restored the division of the priests and Levites, each man of the priests and Levites, according to his office for the burnt offerings, yada, yada, for Sabbaths, new moons, and festivals prescribed by in the teaching of the Lord. In Ezra 3:5, people returning to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem offered prescribed and freewill offerings and sacrifices on new moons and all the festivals sacred to God. In Nehemiah 10:33-34, we impose these commandments on ourselves for Sabbaths, new moons, and festivals. Prophetic revelation, which I think, and this is how I take it, and it doesn't state on the first new moon, yada, yada, but I think in following the template that we're looking at, it shows that from the throne of God in the middle of the street, on each side of the river stood the tree of life bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And when we use the phrase every month, it's a rotation, a monthly rotation. And the leaves of the trees were for the healing of the nation. So there's monthly rotations of the trees, as there was a rotation of the commanders and the chiefs and the Levites. Implication for 12 rotating fruits with symbolic of the fruits of the Spirit, of course, but it was a real tree. What we're not to do with the moon and the sun and the stars is we're not to worship creation and idolatry, and there's definite boundaries and gates and distinction on, well, we use these as tools, but they are not to be worshipped. Exodus 20 and the commandments and Deuteronomy 4, 19, 17, 3, we're not to turn to the sun and the moon and the stars into idols for worshiping images of heavenly bodies. And it's done, we see throughout history and today, it's such a quick transition that they get it mixed up. They mix up the creator with the creation and the tools from the worship form. Isaiah 1, The moon is a tool, it's a clock. It's not to be an idol, and it's not to become, we can turn the Sabbath into an idol, we can turn a holy day into an idol, we can turn the new moon into an idol. And when it was mixed, when the people of God mixed it with hypocrisy in the way they lived, in corruptions and deceptions, and just went through the motions of form, as Brad Scott says, form versus function, Greek form versus Hebrew function, that's not what it's for. Isaiah 47:13 talks about The celestial bodies do not save from calamity. Hosea 2:3 refers to God punishes the house of Israel and Judah and took away their rejoicing in festivals, new moons, Sabbaths, festivals, seasons, due to their corruptions. So it's not just a thing to be worshipped, it's a tool for us to worship God. Amos 8 in verse 5, God was angered by the greed and moral degeneracy, the ritualistic hypocrisy during observance of new moons and Sabbaths, when they just went through the form and not used it as a function. Acts of the early church, I think it's interesting that Acts 19, whoops, sorry, I messed up on that number there. But look in Acts 19, I think it's 23 to 40. Paul turned many from the worship of Artemis, the moon goddess. Diana was the twin of Apollo, Apollo being the moon god and Diana being the moon goddess, the Greek and the Roman goddess, and created quite a stir. In actual fact, he created a mob reaction because he was affecting the temple goddess, and a lot of them had an industry built on that, and they wanted to sell their idols, so he was disrupting their way of life, and they didn't like that. Significance, again, in principle, okay, now we're getting from the basic principle into the specifics of each new moon. So I want to share with you some things that he has shared with me, and it's awesome because I don't understand some of these things, and I ask him to show me and help me understand, and I don't have it all together yet, but it's a work in progress. So this is awesome. On the 601st day year of Noah's life, in the first month, on the first day of the month, the water began to dry upon the earth, and Noah removed the covering of the ark and saw that the surface of the water was drying up. He took the cover off of the ark on the first day of the first month, and when he turned 601 years old. Exodus 12:1-3. Another reference to the first day of the first month. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall mark the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak to the whole community." He told Moses, "Speak to the whole community of Israel and say that on the 10th of this month." So he's preparing them. It's like an announcement, like we have announcements. So he said, "Moses, make an announcement to Israel and tell them, get them ready. This is the first day of the month. This is a new moon, the first new moon. Get them ready. Tell them ahead of time that on the 10th they're going to have to set aside a lamb for the Passover, which is a few days later." Numbers 9:1-2 and 14, the Lord spoke in the wilderness on the first new moon of the second year after they came out of Egypt, after the Exodus. "Let the Israelite people offer the Passover sacrifice at its set time, one law for you with a stranger." But he spoke to them in the wilderness to prepare. Again, he gave an announcement. He didn't just say, "Okay, it's time to do it today." There was preparation, just like we have preparation for the Sabbath. The new moon gave an announcement, a proclamation to get them ready, to remind them. I know I need reminders. I don't, maybe you don't, but I do. And so the new moon was like a reminder, an announcement. Okay, it's time to get ready. This is what we need to focus on. Something amazing. I just discovered this before the feast. And whenever, like, was said, and I can't remember who said it just recently, maybe it was Lee Miller or one of the others, whenever there's something that's stated in the Bible, there's a reason for it. We may not understand right away why does he say, remember in John 1, it says, on the third day there was a wedding? Well, back up, put it in reverse, and go to the previous part of the chapter, and it says on the following day, on the following day, on the following day. So if you back it up, the day before, which is the second day, and the day before that is the first day. So if you put it in reverse and back it up to the first day, and you look later in the chapter and see that, oh, he's talking about Passover, so we're in the first month, we have to look at the context and put two and two together. So if we put it in forward and in reverse and put these things together, the third day was a wedding, so back up the time sequence to the first day, and guess what? Behold the Lamb of God. We have found the Messiah. The first of the disciples were called out in his first year of ministry. And they followed the Lamb of God before the Passover. They said, behold, there's the Lamb of God on the new moon. And it reflects what God told Moses and Aaron, get that lamb ready. Prepare the people to prepare a lamb. Here's an announcement. And what did John the Baptist do in the wilderness? He was a voice in the wilderness. God was their voice to the Israelites in the wilderness. And look at the reflection he's given us. It's amazing. Oops. Again, following through, there's more from the prophets and the writings on the first new moon. Ezekiel 29:17-21 says, in the 27th year, that's of Nebuchadnezzar's reign, and when, there's so many years, you know, different years, it usually references the reign of a king. This is very significant. Throughout the Bible, in the 27th year, in whatever year it is, it refers to the year of that king who's reigning at that time. On the first day of the first month, the word of the Lord came to me, for the labor he expended on Tyre, assuredly I will give the land of Egypt to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. This is a Gentile king we're talking to. On a new moon, on the first new moon. Recompense for his army as the wage that for what he did for me, declares the Lord God. On that day I will endow the house of Israel with strength, and you shall be vindicated among them, and you shall know that I am the Lord. This is a prophecy announced and God's sovereignty revealed. So he used a Gentile king to obliterate Egypt, and he's going to reward him for that because he's done it for his people. He used a Gentile king to accomplish a job, and he paid him for it. And he announced this on the new moon. The first new moon. Isn't that amazing? Pardon me, I can't help but get excited about it. Ezekiel 45:18-20. Thus said the Lord God, on the first day of the first month, the head of the month, you shall take a bull of the herd without blemish, and you shall cleanse the sanctuary. The first day of the first month, he announces, you know, there's to be a lamb, but he also says you got to clean up the sanctuary. You got to clean it up first so it's ready for the lamb, so it's ready for the Passover. So he makes the announcement to clean up the sanctuary. You shall do the same, and he goes on to say what else is coming and what's following that. and then back to John 1, it references, they're talking about cleaning the sanctuary later in the chapter. Clean it up. Okay, clean this out. You, and then he goes on. And there's more, too, but I won't get off track because we're running short on time. And we're just on the first one. From the writings, Chronicles 27, we have the changing of the guards, the rotation, like we have the rotation of the moon around the earth. The first part of the new moon, the first rotation, changing of the guards. Chiefs of the clans, officers of thousands and hundreds, and their clerks who served, and all manners of the division in monthly shifts. Over the first division for the first month was Joshabim, son of Zebdiel, and I'm probably not pronouncing that right. His division had 24,000. And so that's for the first division, the first month. We're changing the guards, the rotation. 2 Chronicles 29:3, Hezekiah opened the temple doors for repairs on the first day of the first month. Because remember, the Passover is coming up, but they got to get that temple cleaned out first. And they're coming back to restore things. 2 Chronicles 29:17, Hezekiah's priests began to cleanse and sanctify the temple on the first day of the first month. First new moons, Ezra 10:17. By the first day of the first month, they were done with all the men who had brought home foreign women. wives. Among the priestly families who were found to have brought foreign women were, and they have a long list, they gave their word to expel their wives and acknowledged their guilt, offered a ram from the flock to expiate for it. Of the Levites, they list the Levites. Of the singers, they list the singers. Of the gatekeepers. So the heads, the leaders, had to get it cleaned up. They had to get their act together first, because the Passover was coming. They had been working on this for 3 months, and we're going to see that in the 10th month, or the first day of the 10th month, where it started. But they've been working on cleaning this up for 3 months, and they concluded it on the first day of the first month, which is Passover month. They got to get this thing, it's been examined, they've been examining it for 3 months, now they got to get it cleaned up because Passover is coming. And the first month, Nisan or Aviv, corresponds to March or April. On the second new moons, Numbers 1:1-17 and 46, on the first day of the second month in the second year following the Exodus, the Lord spoke to Moses in the tent of meeting, saying, "Take a census of the whole Israelite community by clans of its ancestral houses, all those able to bear arms." He's putting together the army here. All those that are over 20. Numbers 1:47-53, the tribe of Levi was not counted in the census for the army because they were rather assigned to keep the charge of the tabernacle of testimony. So the Levites were accepted from that census. They took a census to count the army from all the other tribes. On the first day of the first month, he commanded Moses, and he did it. They did a lot of things on the first day of the first month. They were pretty pretty strong people. 1 Chronicles 27:1-4, Israelite family heads, commanders of thousands, hundreds, and other officers came and went month by month throughout the year. So we've got a changing of the guards now. Rotation over this division of the second month was Eleazar, son of Dodo from Aho, and his division were 24,000 men. So this is the rotation, the changing of the guard for the second month, for the chief of the heads of the families, and the commanders of the army. In 1 Chronicles 23-26, that's chapters, rotation of the priests, Levitical temple workers, 24 divisions, and I'm not going to get into that because it's a little more complicated. From the prophets and the writings, 1 Kings 6:1 and 2 Chronicles 3:2, in the fourth year of Solomon's reign, that would be about 968 or 480 years after the Exodus, second year, second day, specifically stated construction work, second day, note that, I'm not saying first, I'm saying second. Construction work for the foundation, the actual work began on the building the house of God, the temple. By implication, that means that, you know, when you have a dedication of a building, before you start the actual construction, you have a gold shovel and you do the digging and you dedicate it. Well, looking at the template for the new moons, that new moon would have been the dedication before the actual workers got out there in the field and started doing the labor. So it would have been using the template and putting things together. Before they started the actual construction, there would have been a day of dedication. And the first day is before the second day, so that would have been on the new moon, the second new moon. From the Apocalypse, Revelation 21:9, and I'm throwing this in, I'm not going to mention it on all of them, but the foundation of the New Jerusalem Temple has 12 foundations, 12 stone foundations. And just keep this in the back of your mind, because if we were looking at the rotation of in the temple and the rotation of the guards, I mean the chiefs, commanders, just keep this in the back of your mind. I think there is more to be said about this, but we don't have enough time right now. On the third new moons, proposal to a new nation. This was brought out by Dean Wheelock, I believe, on the first day. He said the terms of the covenant were given on Pentecost, but the proposal to Israel, "Will you be my people?" He said, on the third new moon, after the Israelites had gone forth from the land of Egypt, on that very day, the third new moon, that very day, they entered the wilderness of Sinai, having journeyed. Israel encamped there in front of the mountain, and Moses went up to God. The Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, thus you say to the house of Jacob, and declare to the children of Israel, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians, how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to me. Now then, if you will obey me faithfully and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession among all the peoples. Indeed, all the earth is mine, but you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Don't we hear this echoed in the New Testament? I wonder if when it was said, it was on a third new moon. I don't know. Moses relayed confirmations between God and Israel. He said, these are the words you speak to Israel. It's before he delivered the Ten Commandments and the whole covenant. It's the first, the third new moon when he spoke. Ask the people, this is what I say to you. Will you do it? And they said, yes. And then they didn't do it. But anyway, that's another story. From the prophecies, lessons on arrogance on the third new moon. In the first day of the third month, the 11th year of the Lord, the word of the Lord came to Ezekiel to speak to Pharaoh, again, king of Egypt, a Gentile king. He was going to be brought low for his arrogance. And I think there's a duality to this, too, because Lucifer was brought low. He was cast down, and he's going to be cast down again. So there's some echoes going back and forward. 1 Chronicles 25:5-6, the third rotation of the division commanders of the army of Israel, Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, chief priest, and son of Amizabad, however you say it. From the Acts of the Church in embryo, here we go again, putting pieces together. In Acts 1, many of the followers of Yeshua and the Jews from every nation were gathered together before Pentecost, and Yeshua was ascended on after 40 days after his resurrection, before Pentecost. But they were there, and if you, again, go in reverse, he says, tarry in Jerusalem, don't go. Don't go anywhere. Wait for Pentecost. But so there were a few days there before it happened. But 40 days, if you calculate, and I wish I had more time, but I'm short. I got to hurry. But so they were there in Jerusalem. They were there on the third new moon before Pentecost. Fourth new moon, changing of the guards. 2 Chronicles 3:1-2. 1 Chronicles 27. Then Solomon began to build the house of the Lord in the Jerusalem on Mount Moriah. He began to build on the second day of the second month. Whoops, I'm sorry, that we already covered that. I got that. That went in the wrong place. Fifth new moon. Jacob's, it's sort of like Jacob's ladder here, because we have, well, you'll see, Numbers 33:38-39 and Deuteronomy 10:6. Aaron the priest ascended Mount Hor at the command of the Lord and died there. In the 40th year after Israelites had left Egypt, on the first day of the fifth month, Aaron died on Mount Hor. 1 Chronicles. So that was a changing of the guard, because his son Eleazar was anointed as high priest. So we have a changing of the guard again on a fifth new moon. 1 Chronicles 27:1-8, chiefs of the clans, again, a rotation, a monthly rotation of shifts. For the fifth month, the officer Shamhoth, the Ezrahite, and his division change into the guards of the army. Ezra 7:7-10, Ezra arrived in Jerusalem from Babylon on the first day of the fifth month, and they had come to rebuild the temple. Later in the fifth month, there was a warning that went out on the first day, and they didn't do it, so the temple was destroyed later in the month. it followed. The head of the month, the warning fulfilled in later in the month, and the temples were destroyed. From the writings, rotation of the guards again, from the prophets, 6 months, King Darius, where the Lord came to Haggai, prophet, unto Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, to Joshua, high priest, warning of Judah's apathy after returning from the exile. They were building their own houses, getting their own businesses going, and they weren't doing what they came to Jerusalem for, to restore the temple. So he says, hey, you guys are apathetic. You got to get back to your work. This was a warning on the first day of the 6th month. He says, remember your work that you came here for, to rebuild the temple. 6 new moons. 7th new moon. This is the climax. Because it's not only a new moon, but it's a holy day. It's Rosh Chodesh. It's trumpets. It's Rosh Hashanah. It's the, in Hebrew, in Jewish tradition, they believe that Sarah was promised a son on that day. So that also refers to the prophecy in Genesis 3:15, so maybe that was spoken on that day too. Some of these things are speculation, some are very clear. Leviticus 23, we have Lord spoke to Moses saying, speak to the Israelite people thus, in the 7th month, on this first day of the month, you shall observe complete rest, a sacred occasion commemorated with loud blasts of the trumpet. You shall not work at your occupations, and you shall bring an offering to the Lord, because it's not only a new moon, it's a holy day. On Numbers 29:1-6, in the 7th month, in the first day of the month, you shall observe a sacred occasion. You shall not work at your occupations. You shall serve it as a day when the horn is sounded, yada, yada. And they did the new moon offerings, and they did the holy day offering as well. From the prophets, Solomon assembled the elders of Israel to prepare to bring the ark into the new temple at the dedication. 1 Chronicles 27, again, we have the changing of the guards, rotation of the army commanders. Ezra 3:1-6, when the 7th month arrived, the Israelites being settled in their towns, the entire people assembled as one man in Jerusalem. From the first day of the 7th month, they began to make burnt offerings to the Lord, though the foundation of the temple had not yet been laid. In Nehemiah 8, on the first day of the 7th month, the priest brought the teaching before the congregation. Those who could understand, men and women, in the ears of all the people, were given the scroll of the teaching. Then all the people went to eat and drink and send portions and make merry, for they understood the things they were told. In context, we have 1 Corinthians 15, representing the resurrection, the return of the king. In context, Jude 14-15, and Enoch also, the 7th from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all. And this is in the book of Enoch, which I referred to earlier. It's a theme. In context, Matthew 24-25 refer to preparing for the return of the master of the house. Parallels for the 7th new moon, the climax of completion, Revelation 1-3, as the house of Judah was admonished on the 6th new moon to return to the commission of restoring the temple, so the lampstands of the temple, the churches, are admonished to return to completing the restoration of the spiritual temple on the 7th new moon. The revelation to John was given on the day of the Lord. Conventional Christianity thinks that's Sunday. Well, the day of the Lord, as we've learned in prophecy, is trumpets, the 7th new moon. And it goes on to say, see what I have spoken to the 7 churches. It's a warning and it's an encouragement. Revelation 6:17, 8:1-2, when the Lamb broke the 7th seal, 7 angels were given 7 trumpets. Another angel holding a censer of gold, which was the incense deposited on the altar of gold, together with the prayers of God's people. Revelation 11:15-19, return of the king and culmination of the resurrection of the firstborn on that 7th new moon, the Feast of Trumpets. 8 new moons. In the 11th year, the temple was finished in all its detail according to specifications. 8th month. And we have the rotation of the changing of the guard again. 9th new moon, changing of the guards. Benjamin was the commander. 10th new moons, the waters continued to recede until the 10th month. On the first day of the 10th month, the tops of the mountains became visible, representing a new world. The chiefs of clans, officers, this is again changing of the guard rotation for the 10th month. Ezra and the men who were the chiefs of the ancestral clans, all of them listed by name, sequestered themselves the first day of the 10th month to study the matter. This was a matter of examining the leaders that had mixed marriages with the foreign women from the surrounding nations. And as we saw in the first month, 3 months later, they concluded the matter and they agreed to clean it up. Esther, in the New American Bible, there is a prologue to the book of Esther. And in that prologue, it talks about Mordecai having a dream on the 10th new moon of what was to come. And it's not only what was to come then, but there's commentary on it. It's prophetically indicative of a parallel coming in the future. Esther was taken to the king in the 10th month. I don't know what part of the month, but it's interesting that it was on the 10th month when Mordecai had the dream of what was going to happen in that time. 11th new moons. It was on the 40th year, on the first day of the 11th month, that Moses addressed the Israelites in accordance with the instructions that the Lord had given him. So Moses, most of Deuteronomy was presented on the 11th new moon. 1 Chronicles 27, again, changing of the guards to the 11th month. The head was of the tribe of Ephraim. 12th new moons, Deuteronomy 32. Moses, now part of this is speculation, part of it is putting together different pieces. And I'm not real positive, but there's some strong indication that Moses, in following the template that we've seen before, Moses delivered the Song of Moses. He anointed Joshua on that very day, Deuteronomy 32:48. He ascended, and then he ascended the mountain to die. His brother died on the 5th new moon. And there are some strong indications that Moses died on the 12th new moon. Deuteronomy 32:50, Deuteronomy 32:48-52, 34:5-8, and Joshua 4:19. If you can go and study those, and you'll see how the pieces go together. 1 Corinthians 27:1-15, again the changing of the guard for the monthly rotation. Ezra 10:16-17, Ezra and the chiefs of the ancestral tribes continue to examine the matter of the mixed marriages and the leaders of the temple. Ezekiel 32:1-16, in the 12th year, the first day of the 12th month, the word of the Lord came to me, O mortal, intone a dirge over Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Say to him, O great beast among the nations, you are doomed. So he delivered a warning of impending fall to the arrogant Gentile king of Egypt on the 12th new moon. Some interesting things I noted last year, which was the 12th new moon, some significant news happened. Of course, the Chinese start their new year on the astronomical new moon, which was February 10th. Then on February 11th, around the new moon, and I'm not saying exactly which day it was, Pope Benedict announced a sudden retirement, and a lightning bolt struck the Vatican Basilica. And then on the 12th of February, we had our United States presidential inauguration, and I will say no more on that. Undetermined new moon, it says in the 11th year, on the first day of whatever month it was, there was a prophecy against Tyre. Lots of lessons. to be learned, lots of other studies that go off from this direction, which we don't have time for, some parallel blessings of the new moon, mission restoration of all things. Basically, restoration is a key in the new moons. There's many lessons to come. There's many restorations of the temple, the bride of Yeshua, the temple of the renewal of truth, justice, mercy, obedience to the covenant with the patriarchs. And in Malachi 3:22, he says, "Be mindful of the teachings of my servant Moses, whom I charged at Horeb with laws and rules for all of Israel. Lo, I will send the prophet Elijah to you before the coming of the awesome, fearful day of the Lord. He shall reconcile parents with children and children with parents, so that when I come, I do not strike the whole land with utter destruction." And there's another translation from the New American Bible, too. So I think that the new moons have much to do with restoration, and it's essential to our destiny, our mission in this time to restore things. Exodus 19, the conclusion of the matter, Exodus 19, 5-6, "Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant," and the new moons are part of that, "then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people. All the earth is mine. You shall be a nation, a kingdom of priests, and a holy nation." And in Ecclesiastes 12:13, it says, "The sum of the matter, when all is said and done, revere God and observe his commandments, for this applies to all mankind." Any questions?